So the title of the message today is God Looks Upon the Heart. And I don't think it's really a surprise to us that that's the case. But see, man always looks on the outward appearance. And God looks on the outward appearance, but God also sees the inner heart. So what we're going to look at today is an instance, or actually a couple instances, where it became clear that what man necessarily would have thought on the in a situation isn't what God saw in that situation. And we're going to start in Luke chapter 1, verses 13 to 18. I'm sure it's very familiar. We just went through the Christmas holiday here. But this is the record that God has of Zechariah going into the temple. And starting in verse 13, it says, "But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zechariah, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God." Verse 17, "And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zechariah said unto the angel, Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years." Now, I was going to make a joke, but I'm probably not going to. But all right, so, you know, the angel comes to Zechariah, and, you know, Zechariah is just doing his duty, right? He's offering incense in the temple, and the angel starts to talk to him, and Zechariah is like, "Hey, what are you talking about? You know, I'm an old man. How can this possibly be, right?" But then if you drop down a little further in the same chapter, we have a situation where the same angel, Gabriel, comes to Mary, verses 31 to 34. I'll read it here. "And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" All right, so we have two individuals where Gabriel comes to them and tells them something of the Lord. And both of them are like, you know, "Hey, I just can't comprehend this because, you know, I'm old or I'm a virgin. So, you know, how am I going to have a son?" Both of them are like, "How am I going to have a son?" Right? Well, you know, the problem is that I guess before I say that problem is, both of these people were people that, from the Lord's perspective, were people of impeccable character. In Luke 1:6, it says, I better back up to 5. "There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zechariah, of the course of Abia, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. So, you know, when the Lord sends Gabriel to him, it's not a coincidence that the Lord picks Zacharias. The Lord looks at him and he says, he's a man who is righteous and blameless in my sight, right? And then when you look at Mary in verse 28 first, it says, and the angel came in unto her and said, Hail thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. So she was highly favored of the Lord, right? Then if you go down to 30, and the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. So, you know, both of these people had a character that God looked at and said, these are two really good people that I can use for my purposes. Now, something different happens, though, when the angel comes to them. For Zacharias, after Zacharias is told that he's going to have a son, oh, your son's going to be great. He's going to prepare the way for the one that the Lord is going to bring and everything, right? He's going to be the one who's going to guide the people to back to God. And, you know, you would think, like, your focus would be like, oh my goodness, the things that you're telling me about my son, this is like phenomenal, right? But no, he's like, how can I have a child? I'm so old. He's focused on the age thing as opposed to all the blessings that God has said are going to be poured out on his son. But, you know, in the same chapter, verse 20, for Zacharias, after he doubts, the angel says to him, And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. So it's clear, not that he's going to be dumb like he's going to be stupid, but he's going to be dumb, he's going to be unable to talk, right? So because of his unbelief, the Lord strikes him with this condition where he's no longer able to talk until that season is fulfilled, where the child is born. But Mary's a little different. If you look at Mary from verses 35 to 37, when she says, How can it be? I don't know a man. I've never known a man. And verse 35, the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. So, you know, the angel gives Mary an explanation. So Zacharias doubted, but Zacharias got chastised. Mary doubted, but Mary gets a little explanation. Well, is that because God is unjust and he chooses favorites and he picks this woman and says, oh, I like the woman better than Zacharias? Well, absolutely not. But see, God's looking at the heart. And what we have is we have a man, Zacharias. He's a priest. He's serving in the temple. He knows the word of God. And the thing is that, you know, Zacharias, when the angel comes to him in verse 13, the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife shall bear a son. Well, guess what? He's been praying, I want a son, I want a son. And the angel finally comes to him and says, God's heard your prayer, and he's going to give you a son. And what happens? Zacharias is like, wait a minute, it can't possibly be. Well, you know, how many times have we prayed for something and we say, well, Lord, you know, I want you to do this for me, please. And then God does, well, okay, your prayer is answered, But you don't give God the credit for it. You think, hey, that really worked out well for me, right? We just take credit for it ourselves, or we just assume that everything went our way, and now all of a sudden, I don't have that issue anymore, or my child is okay, or whatever, right? So, you know, we don't give it to God and say, praise God, right? And it wasn't just, hey, I'm going to give you a son, but I'm going to give you an amazing son. You know, I would probably be a little taken aback if the Lord said to me, hey, I'm going to have your son be the one who's going to prepare the way for the coming Messiah. I'd be like, whoa, are you kidding me? But you know, that gives you a little insight into the character of your son, right? Zacharias was a righteous man, and God saw that, and he knew that he was going to raise his son the right way, and that he could use his son for the purposes that God needed at that time to turn those that were still, I can't say totally faithful to God, but at least open to it, to come back to the Lord and trust that the Messiah was going to come, right? So John the Baptist goes out and starts to preach, and people come to hear him. The multitudes of people come to hear him. Now, Mary, on the other hand, did Mary pray to God? Hey, God, I would like to bear your son, Jesus Christ. No. So, see, that's the difference. You see, he's the priest. He should know better. With God, all things are possible. And God answers his prayer, and he's like, wait a minute, how is that possible? Mary, on the other hand, she's just a young girl. She's doing what she's doing, but she's favored of God, and God chooses her. Folks, we never know what God's got planned for us. He can choose us to do anything that he wants, and all he asks of us is to say, here I am, Lord, use me, right? Just like Isaiah. But, you know, Mary didn't ask to be the mother of the Son of God. And ultimately, you know, I mean, if you fast forward and you see all the things that her son went through, it's got to tear her heart out to see the anger and the wrathfulness, the evil of people as they treat her son in such a terrible way and then crucify him on the cross. And she's there to see him. But, you know, those are the things that Mary keeps in her heart, right? So she doesn't voice those issues anywhere in Scripture. But she didn't ask for it. So what does God do? God says, let's give her an explanation. And God gives her an explanation, and what's the result of that? Verse 38, Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. See, I trust in your word, Lord. What you say, I will do. There was no question. There was no hesitation. And I mean, we talk about it all the time, that at that time in Israel, if a woman was betrothed to a man and they had not been together, and she gets pregnant, that's like, hey, stoning. And Mary has to understand that this is the situation. She's not ignorant of the word of God. So she knows that this is possible. And yet she says, whatever your word says, Lord, I'll do. That's faith, folks. And, you know, that's how the Lord sees the heart. You know, people on the outside can look at this, like, you know, Joseph, her husband, and did Joseph say, hey, I guess, you know, what you're telling me is true? No, he didn't say that until the angel came to him and revealed that truth to him. He's looking on the outside. He says, whoa, what's going on? You're supposed to be my wife and you're pregnant. And now he's got his own crisis of character to deal with, you know? And her family was the same way. So, you know, it's one of those things when you look at people on the outside. We do this all the time, right? We look at people and we judge them immediately. And you shouldn't be doing that because we don't know their heart. Now, beyond that, we have another situation. And we have the time when David is going to be chosen to be the next king of Israel, right? Now, Samuel is sent to Jesse's house. And the Lord just tells him, you're going to find the one that I want you to anoint there. And Jesse is all excited. Oh, great. So he lines up his six sons and says, here they are. And Samuel is looking at them all. And the thought of Samuel is, it must be this guy, Eliab, because he's tall and of a good countenance, right? Well, you know, if you look back, when Saul was chosen to be king, what was the reason why Saul got chosen? Because he stood taller than any other man, right? So did Israel do a very good job of picking a king? No, because they looked on the outside. But God said, no, Samuel, that's not the man. And then Samuel was like, well, wait a minute. Jesse, do you have any other sons? And he says, oh, yeah, I have one, but he's out tending the sheep out in the fields, right? So he calls him in, and the Lord tells Samuel, yeah, this is the one that I want to be the next king. And he's described as being ruddy. Now, you know, ruddy isn't something that I think men say, hey, look, I'm ruddy, you know. But, you know, scripturally, in that day, ruddy just meant that he was like red-haired. So, you know, red-haired and very light complexion, right? So he wouldn't be the guy that you would look at and say, hey, you know, yes, that's the guy that's going to be the next king. But God said, yeah, because God looked in his heart. And God said, this boy at the time has a heart for me and for my word. So Samuel ends up anointing him. And then we all know, you know, he doesn't become king right away. He's young. King Saul is still sitting on the throne. David has to go through a learning process, right? That's tricky for us sometimes, because many times we sit there and we say, I know the Lord has called me to do this. But sometimes the Lord can call you to do something, but he doesn't want you to start that right away, because he's got some things that he needs you to do before you take that position, right? So, you know, and I made the comment before that, you know, when I came to Pastor Jerry and I said, I think the Lord wants me to be a preacher. And I said, you know, can you, you know, guide me, give me some books, you know, start to teach me, you know, what it is I need to know. And you know what he did? He said, I want you to preach next week. Oh my. And I was like, what? I was like, whoa, you don't understand. I'm not ready. And boy, when I gave that message, I wasn't ready. But, you know, I remember those things. And folks, it keeps you humble, right? But see, God knew I wasn't ready. But God said, look, this is what your pastor wants you to do. Now I want to see if you're going to do it. And I did. But, you know, I probably had to use a half a stick of deodorant on that day. I don't know, but it was a long day. But, you know, the Lord prepares us. And over time, we get to a point where we see his hand in things. We get to, and I don't want to make this sound crazy, but we hear his voice. We feel the nudging of God, and he pushes us in a direction. And he says, these are the things that I want you to talk about this week. And sometimes those are things that just happen in the news. You know, hey, we got to be aware. You know, and you know, I haven't preached on this, but I'm so concerned about this whole digital currency thing that's going on, you know, because I know scripturally what that means. There's not going to be buying and selling with money anymore. It's going to all be handled outside of your money. I thought credit cards were going to be the first problem, but it was just a stepping stone, right? So now we've got digital currency that's come onto the play, and pretty soon they're going to know everything that you buy and sell, because everything is going to be tracked digitally. It's a concern. For a Christian, it should be a concern. Now, you know, that's something that I'm just, you know, I feel it's been on my heart. But at this point, it hasn't reached a point yet where I think we can raise the red flag, but, you know, it's not like I'm saying, hey, go out and rise up against your government. You know, no. We're not at that, you know. So when we post this on the internet, you know, I'm making it clear, I am not telling you to rise up against your government, okay? This is not the time. All right. Now, let's just take it one step further. We're going to pop back to Zacharias for a minute. So Zacharias prays that the Lord will give him a son. And, you know, we've done this, right? We've prayed, Lord, I've got this unsaved family member, or I've got this person who is sick in my life that I'm concerned about. And we pray and we pray and we pray, and weeks go by and months go by and years go by, and nothing happens. And we begin to doubt, right? God, how come you're not answering my prayer, right? Well, I mean, one, God is not required to have to give you an answer right away. God will give you an answer. I guarantee you, God will give you an answer. But let me put it this way. We're in this digital age, right? Everybody's got a cell phone. And it annoys me to no end that everybody's sitting there and they're all like this, right? It's like, hello, you know, I'm standing in front of you. Make eye contact with me. I feel like we're all going to be hunchbacks by the time we're 40, right? But, you know, people don't even call on the phone anymore. They just text. And then they get mad at you because you didn't answer. Well, you know, at certain points when I'm home, I have my cell phone near me, and I hear it ding, and I look. But there are times when I don't want to be interrupted, and I put the cell phone on the counter in my kitchen, and I just leave it there. And it could be 3 hours before I go and I look at it, and then I see, oh, I have a message. Now I have more than one message. Oh, and now people are getting rather angry. And I'm like, what? Call me if it's so important, you know? But, you know, I don't know why, but people, when you text somebody, do you expect an answer? Yes. When you call somebody, do you expect them to answer the phone? Yes. When you write them a letter, do you expect them to write back to you, or at least call you, or something? Yes. Well, why is it that when we pray to God, we don't even acknowledge that he's answering our prayer? Why is it that we don't expect him to answer our prayer? He's doing the same thing. We pray to him. We don't text God, and we don't call him on the phone. We don't write him a letter, although you could. But, you know, we're praying to him, and then we, like, forget. Like, oh, I did pray for that. You know, oh, that was 3 months ago. And then, you know, we just kind of let it slide. Do we thank you, Lord, for answering that prayer? No, we forget about it because it's been so long. God doesn't forget. God says, you know, I'm going to answer it, but I have to have some things in place before I can answer that prayer. And we have to be patient. And I know that's hard. It's very hard. Yeah, especially in this day and age. But, okay. Now, I'm just going to conclude like this. If we think about God, I mean, God gives us families, right? And many of us have children. And as parents, we try to do things that we think are in the best interest of our kids. So, you know, I don't know a better way to say it, but we bend over backwards to try to help them in whatever situation that they're in, right? So, but, you know, we do things for them. And I guess if we were to do something for them and, you know, and they asked us, you know, for something and we gave it to them, and they just said, oh, hey, I don't believe that was coming from you. Would you be offended? I mean, probably, right? I mean, it's like, you know, well, who else did you expect it to come from, right? I mean, you prayed about it. You asked for it. And your parents did this for you. Of course it came from your parents. But you know what? It comes from your parents because they have the same love for you that God has for you. And when that occurs, then there's a blessing to be had, right? Too many children think that they are just...
entitled?
Yeah, that's a good word. Entitled to a blessing, if you want to call it that, just because they're your child.
Yeah.
But that's not the case. See, parents are required to have to do the things that are in the best interest of the child. So we take the child to school. We take the child to church. We teach them how to run a home. We teach them how to do all the things that they need to do in order to be successful when they leave the house. So we want them to be prepared for the world outside, but we try to shelter them from the things that are really harmful to them. Well, God is the exact same way. So sometimes we pray for things, and we pray for things that we ought not to pray for. And God says, oh, no, I can't give you that. And then we get mad at him, just like our kids get mad at us. Well, can't I just have that cookie before dinner? No, because that's going to ruin your dinner. And you shouldn't be eating cookies every day. You should be eating good stuff. Have a piece of fruit or have a carrot. Oh, boy. So, you know, but it's hard for our children to understand that these things are for their benefit. Just like it's hard for us to understand from God that some of the things that happen in our lives are for our benefit, or for the benefit of others that we know. So, you know, it's a difficult situation. But you see, God doesn't call people and use people to do things that he says they're not able to do, because God knows the heart. So God says, I know this person. Whether they're prepared today to step into that role isn't the issue, but I know that they will be one day. Because guess what? He sees the future. We don't see the future. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I don't know what's going to happen at 1 o'clock when the Bills kick off against the Jaguars. But it doesn't matter. God knows. I mean, I don't think God's a football fan, but, you know, we have to understand that he already knows the end from the beginning. So when we begin to question him, how can we question him? It's like... I guess I don't even know a good example other than maybe talking about a teacher that you have. who's been teaching for 30 years. So they know the curriculum that they're trying to teach. Well, they can't throw all the things at you that you would be learning in the eighth month of your school year, right? They have to start at the basics and continue to teach you along the way so that by the eighth month, you're now proficient at what you need to know, or at least should be, right? Well, that's how God operates. God, I mean, the teacher doesn't know whether you're going to make it in 8 months, but God knows. So God knows in 8 months, you're going to be prepared, or 8 years, you're going to be prepared, or 80 years, you're going to be prepared. It doesn't matter. All he wants is that heart that says, I'm willing, Lord. Whatever your word is, please use me, and I'll do what you ask. That's a mature heart, but it's difficult. And I'm not saying it's easy, but you see, we're starting a new year here, folks, and God's at work. God's been at work ever since, you know, the creation. None of this surprises him. Where we are today, where you were born today, where you're living today, who you are today, your particular status in life, none of that is a surprise to God. So when we end up putting our faith and trust in him, it's because he knows why we're in the situation we're in right now. And he knows what's best for us. So continue to pray to God and expect an answer from God. And if it doesn't come immediately, don't get your nose out of joint. That doesn't mean that he's not listening to you. It just means that it's going to come at a different time. Zacharias was old and his wife, well stricken, right? But, you know, I'm sure he wasn't praying for a child when he was 80. He was praying for a child, you know, in their childbearing years. And God said, I'm going to give you a son, but in my time. And Zacharias should have said, praise the Lord, he's answered my prayer. But that wasn't what came out of his mouth. So when God calls you to do something, make sure that you say, praise the Lord. He's asking me to be a helper for him. And I actually did have a comment. You know, the world likes to believe that they can usurp God's ways. So, you know, God knows what we need. And, you know, some of us want children. Some of us have children. Some of us have more children than we wanted. But the Lord knows, and he's blessed us with that. But some people don't have children yet, and some may not ever have children. But God knows that's best. But, you know, there are people who are anxious because they haven't found that helpmeet yet. And they put their faith and trust in some algorithm online that is going to match me up with my perfect mate. And I'm not going to say that can't happen, but, you know, God knows who that perfect mate is. And we need to trust that he's going to bring that person into our lives when it's necessary and at the best time. And if there's something that's happening that's not making it the best time, then God knows that. And it will happen. But we need to always know that he knows what's best for us. So we need to put our faith and trust in him. And no matter what it is. So, I mean, it could be health issues, could be job issues, could be, children issues and other relationships. But none of that surprises the Lord. So let's start the year without carrying all the baggage from the prior year with us and just say, look, I want to do what you call me to do, Lord, and let's get on with it. So let's begin today and just begin to do the things that you asked me to do and praise the Lord, whatever that might be. I mean, sometimes it's not pleasant. Sometimes, you know, it's like, hey, you're going to preach next week. You know, okay. But, you know, That's okay. But, you know, you get through it, and then eventually you're standing here doing what you're supposed to be doing, right? So always trust God knows. He's got the best things in mind for us. All right, we'll close in prayer.